You are listening to the Midcurrent Church Podcast. This week's message is from our series titled Proverbs, Foolproofing Your Life. For more information and to visit us online, check us out at midcurrentchurch.org and find us on Facebook and Instagram. And now, here is Pastor Sten Carlson with today's message.
Hey, by a quick show of hands here, who is ready for fall and a return to like some sense of normalcy in your life here? Okay, there's a few hands going up. Ready or not, if we're ready for it or whatever, here we come. Fall is on the way. For any parents in the room, which I know is not every one of us, but by now, I think most, you know, towns, most schools are back in. So the kids are back into school, and that in and of itself has a way of setting into a pretty kind of specific and structure into daily life. Even if you don't have kids, I think the changing of the seasons just in and itself from summer to fall naturally kind of brings a little structure and order into life. For most people, especially for people here in the Midwest, the summer months, they seem to bring just a little like extra sense of freedom and adventure. Erica and I, my wife and I, we hate to see summer end. We love summer so much, but there is a small part of us that does recognize that for our own good, we hate to see the summer end, but there's a small part of us that recognizes for our own good, summer probably needs to end. Like we probably should wrap up this season of our life because we really do love the summer. We live our whole family, all five of us, we always say we live our best life in the summer, but we always reach this point of like the end of August. And here's what we realize as we sit here kind of staring at what's to come. We realize like, I think we got to rein it in a little bit. You know, like I think we got to get back to some bit of like just some of the basics, some of the things that we know are good for us. We get to this point at the end of the summer and we kind of realize like, man, we've played too hard. We went to bed too late. We neglected too many projects around the house. We drove way too many miles. We spent too much money. We ate too much sugar and we consumed way too many calories. And so in a way, we get to this point of the fall and we kind of welcome this built-in sense of routine and structure and habits that we know we need. In a lot of ways, it helps us to achieve a level of consistency that we ultimately want for ourselves and that we want for the lives that we are living. The seasons change from fall to summer. It helps us just build in some sense of the consistency that we know is really what we would like. How many of you would like to develop like a greater sense of consistency in your own life? Anyone kind of feeling the same way? There's a few hands going up. I didn't think I was alone on this one, but if you're sitting here going like, yeah, I would like to develop some consistency in the places of my life, the areas of my life that matter the most, I'm glad you're here today because that's a little bit of what I want to talk about as we continue in this series, Proverbs. But here's the deal. I have no interest today in spending the next, you know, whatever, 25 minutes here. I have no interest in trying to like give you some kind of like self-help advice to like, you know, better sleep and healthier living. I don't have any interest in trying to, you know, provide that kind of advice for you here today. But here's what I do want to do today. I do want to take some time to suggest some kind of spiritual advice, some kind of wisdom that I think will help you and I both to develop a certain level of consistency in our spiritual life that I think that we might want. I hear so often from people all the time that we want to grow in our faith. We want to develop consistency in this part of our life. And today I want to try to give us some spiritual advice, some wisdom that might help us to do that. Because maybe this fall, right? Maybe as the seasons change, maybe as you get back to some sense of rhythm and routine in your life, maybe part of the routine that you'd like to get back into or get yourself into for the first time, maybe it's some sense of a spiritual routine or a spiritual rhythm or a spiritual habit that you'd like to develop. Maybe this fall, you're wanting to build a more consistent life of faithfulness or even the righteousness that God has called you to. The wisdom that is contained in the book of Proverbs, I believe, can help you and I both. And that's ultimately the wisdom that's found in Scripture. That's what this series through the month of August has been about. The book of wisdom that is titled is Proverbs. It was written by King Solomon, who the Bible says was wiser than anyone else on earth. Just a quick review for you in terms of where this wisdom came from. It's in the book of 1 Kings that God rewarded Solomon's faithfulness by promising to give him whatever he asked for. And Solomon asked for a wise and for a discerning heart. And God was so pleased with that answer that he ultimately granted his request. And so the book of Proverbs then, it is essentially a kind of all of Solomon's wisdom collected and organized into one place. And it is presented almost as, in so many places, it's presented as like fatherly advice, you know, passed on from one generation to the next. And ultimately, it's wisdom then for you and I, as we read it here today, it's wisdom for you and I to live the kind of life that's best, to live the kind of life that we might ultimately desire and the life that is ultimately most pleasing to God. And the wisdom that we're going to examine today, I think, can help us ultimately develop and cultivate the kind of consistency in our spiritual life that so many of us may be wanting the most. I think the wisdom that we're going to examine today can help us to do that, not by providing a list of all the activities that we need to like add to our schedule, not creating some kind of checklist of all the things that we really should be doing in this life, but rather, I think we're going to see that this can help us cultivate the consistency that we want in our life, but by uncovering the parts of us that we maybe need to pay attention to the most if we want to be living this kind of life that we want and that is most pleasing to God. And so if you brought a Bible, I encourage you to open it up, turn to Proverbs chapter 4. You can also follow along on the side screens with me here as well. But we're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 4. Bible scholars have actually given this whole title, this whole chapter, chapter 4, a title. So in your Bibles today, you'll see notes that are kind of inserted in there. And Bible scholars say this, the title of this chapter is like, some translations say like, a father's wise instructions or fatherly exhortation, right? And so there's chapter 4 is a whole chapter of all of this like fatherly sounding advice. It's Solomon saying, hey, listen to what I say. Don't forget the things that I have that I've taught you. My father taught me these things and now I'm passing them on to you. It's him saying, hey, try to do your best to do these things. I'm telling to you and you're going to live a good life. Essentially, if you go through all of Proverbs chapter 4, it's like 22 verses. The first 22 verses, it's like the biggest dad talk ever. Okay, you ever been on the like the you know end of a like a good receiving end of like a good dad talk, right? I know personally, my kids' eyes like glaze over every time I launch into like a good dad talk, right? And so at a certain point, I realize like, oh, I think I've lost them. At a certain point, I realize like, I think I need to wrap this up here. I think I need to kind of like put like an exclamation point on the end of this if I have any hope of them remembering or caring about what it is that I have said. It's almost as if, I'm just kind of having some fun here, it's almost as if Solomon comes to the same conclusion after 22 verses of a dad talk because he punctuates it all, the whole chapter, he punctuates it all with four like descriptive sets of instructions. And here's ultimately how he starts verse 23, which is kind of the beginning of the end of chapter 4. It's him almost going like, all right, let me wrap this up. Here's what he writes, the first one right here. He says, above all else, very quickly, I think this is his way of saying like, let me wrap it up. Let me summarize for you my advice for living a consistent life of wisdom and righteousness in the ways that God has called us to. He's going, if I had to give you a few bullet points, here's the first. It's in verse 23. He says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything that you do flows from it. He's saying, hey, your heart is the thing that you need to pay most attention to, because what takes root in your heart is ultimately going to start to come out in your life. This is one of so many of, you know, like our favorite Bible verses. This is one of the really famous Bible verse, one of the most well-known Proverbs. And yet in the context of what we're reading today, it's only a part of what we're looking at. So we're going to come back to it for now. We're going to keep reading. He adds a few more. Verse 24, he says, keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Pastor Jonathan spent all of last Sunday reminding us, teaching us, helping us to understand the power in our words. And so we see it again. Here's verse 25 now. He says, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. And verse 26, give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all of your ways. This is him kind of wrapping it all up. He said a bunch of stuff. Hey, follow these instructions I'm giving you. Pay attention to these things. Keep yourself head in the right direction. And this is the way that it's summarized all at the end here. And what I want you to see and notice and highlight, if you have your Bible, you can do this as well. But what I want to point out is his reference to these kind of four, like, parts of us, these four, you know, like body parts in a way. These four verses identify the four parts of the body that specifically impact the quality and the directions of the lives that we're living. Those four things are the heart, the mouth, the eyes, and the feet. The heart, the mouth, the eyes, and the feet. Here's what I found to be pretty interesting about this section of Proverbs chapter 4 and the reference to the heart, the mouth, the eyes, and the feet. Some scholars suggest that the mention of these kind of individual parts of us likely function as what is known as a synecdoche. Okay, everybody say synecdoche as best you can. I had to like practice this over and over to get it right, okay? A synecdoche is a figure of speech where a part of something, this isn't like particular like a Bible thing here, this is just a literary thing here. A synecdoche is a figure of speech where part of something represents the whole. Let me give you a few examples of some synecdoches here, because I have a hunch that you actually might know what this means, even if you didn't realize it here. So here's a few examples. Someone may compliment your new car by saying, hey, nice wheels. Okay? They're not actually admiring the four circular wheels that your car is mounted on. What are they doing? They're referring to the entire car itself, okay? Wheels are only a part of the whole deal, but when they're used like this as a figure of speech, they're kind of referring to the whole thing. Nice wheels is a way of saying, hey, I like your car. Or if you were to say to someone like, hey, I could use a hand. See, you know what I'm talking about, right? You're not actually requesting, you know, like five extra fingers from somebody. What you're asking, you need someone's help. Like their whole selves, right? You, their time and their muscles and their tools and their truck. Like you're going, I need you to help me do this because I can't do it on my own. It's a synecdoche. It's referencing a part that really represents the whole. And so that's almost what's happening here. The heart, the mouth, the eyes, and the feet, scholars suggest are all acting as almost some bit of a Hebrew version, because the Old Testament and Proverbs written in Hebrew. These are almost acting as like some kind of Hebrew version of a synecdoche, demonstrating how a part is really representative of the whole. And so this is interesting to me when I really think about it, right? That the wisdom here in the book of Proverbs, to me, it's like it's giving us some bit of a hint. If saying, hey, these things here are really like a way to refer to the whole, the wisdom here is almost hinting at the fact that our focus, us paying attention to these four parts of us, better yet, you know, individually, but better yet, paying attention to all four of them together, that it's our focus on these four parts that will lead to a whole life of faithfulness and of of righteousness and of godly living that we might want. It's almost like Solomon is saying, hey, if you want to be consistently heading in the right direction, if you want to be consistently living a life of wisdom, if you want to consistently stay out of trouble, if you want to be consistently avoiding the foolish and the evil ways that you can slip into, then pay attention to and get a better handle on these four parts of you. And in that regard, here's what I would say to you today, that it's the internal alignment that is going to lead to the external consistency that we want in our life. Right? Consistency of your spiritual life, I think, is going to depend on the alignment internally, on the alignment of your heart, your mouth, your eyes, and your feet. And so if you want to cultivate a life of consistent faithfulness to God or righteousness or godliness in your life, here's what I want to encourage you to do. Here's in fact what I think the wisdom of Proverbs here is teaching us. I've tried to boil it down into 12 simple words in a way to help us remember what it is that we maybe need to be mindful of the most. And so here's what I think the wisdom of Proverbs is teaching us here about the consistency that we might want to experience in our life, that you might want to experience in your life. Here's what I would encourage you to do. Guard your heart, govern your mouth, set your sights, and watch your step. Okay? Guard your heart, govern your mouth, set your sights, and watch your step. With the time I have left, I want to take a look at each one of these and try to talk about the part that they might play in the whole of the life that we are trying to cultivate. Let me start with guarding your heart. The most literal translation, or one of the most common translations of this verse, encourages the guarding of the heart because it says it is the wellspring of life, right? The translation we looked at said everything you do flows from it. Some say you guard it because it is the wellspring of life. One of the definitions of a wellspring is it's a natural and it's an unending source of water coming out of the ground. Wellspring. In northern Michigan, where my family vacations every year, there's actually two of these, like wells, that flow 24 hours a day, water flowing from them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Rain, shine, snow, freezing, whatever. These things never stop flowing. One is at least what we call, it's an artesian well, and I kid you not, it has the cleanest, the clearest, the purest water you could ever imagine in your life. The other one, it never stops running either all year long. The other one is a well that no one really cares about, most of all because it's full of the same, I don't know, iron or sulfur in it that makes the tap water in the area like taste like rotten eggs, okay? It's the very same thing. And so it's fascinating. What you realize is whatever is inside of these two wells, only a few miles apart, whatever is inside of these two wells is what flows out of them at the same time. And so the content, what's inside of these wells, the content of the well matters. It's what makes one gross. I don't know what's getting in there, but it's what makes one gross and completely overlooked, and it's what makes the other, no joke, like a local tourist attraction. People drive from all over to fill up water bottles. Our family said we got to stop at the well. We fill up water bottles every time. People fill milk jugs. There are some people that live in the area. They pull up a truck with a flatbed, and the whole bed is filled with the 5-gallon deals, and they're filling up water from this naturally flowing, crystal clear artesian well. I think the Bible is comparing our heart to a kind of well that never stops flowing. And the point that I think is trying to be made here is that what's on the inside matters. Right? The content of the well, the content of the command center matters. Okay, whatever finds its way inside is it's what is going to start flowing out again. I said a few weeks ago that in a lot of ways the eyes and the ears, that our senses are kind of a gateway to our heart. And so what that means is what we see, what we spend our time taking in through our eyes, what we hear, right? It has a way of influencing the heart. So if what we allow into our heart, if we're careful to make sure that what we allow into our heart is right and true and pure and honorable and pleasing, then what flows out of us will be the same. But if we allow into our heart what is impure or unjust or untrue or unwholesome, then that has a way of flowing out of us as well. The heart is simply the starting point for all of the life that we live, and it determines the course of our life. It determines the course of our lives. So the reality is guarding, it's worth guarding. The heart must be guarded vigilantly, right? The well cannot be contaminated, right? So our first priority, it's almost says above all else, we guard the heart. Next, here's what I would say to you, right? You guard your heart and then you govern your mouth. Okay, if you ever heard of not a governor in terms of like the leader of a state or whatever, but have you ever heard of a governor that you like put onto a golf cart or like a moped or something? A little device, the device that you attach to one of these things. It's often called a governor, and it's ultimately something that like that limits the speed or that keeps the thing in check, right? So the golf cart can't go flying off the flying off the road, right? We have to learn to do the same thing. And this is so much of what Pastor Jonathan was getting at last week. And so I won't spend a ton of time revisiting it here, but it's included in this set of instructions about how individual parts really impact the whole, right? And so I won't spend a ton of time talking about it, but we've got to do the same thing with our mouth. We've got to learn to keep it in check, right? To make sure that it doesn't, fly off the handle. I believe it was Proverbs 13:3 that Jonathan referenced last week, saying, "Those who guard their lips, listen to this, preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin." What this says to me in so many ways is that like your future is formed in many ways on your lips. Okay, you and I have a way of speaking into existence whatever it is that is on our lips and regularly coming out of our mouth, right? And so we need to be careful. If we can speak into existence whatever it is that is on our lips, we got to be really careful of the world that we create with our words. Here's the third thing that I would encourage of you and me today, for all of us, to set our sights. I want to encourage you to set your sights, right? You guard your heart, you govern your mouth, and then you set your sights. You set your sights on something bigger, something greater, something grander, something further down the line that will pull you to the life that you want to be living. The verse itself says, "Fix your gaze directly before you and let your eyes look straight ahead." Okay, I'll tell you what, the further down the line that your eyes are set, the further down the line that your sights are set, the straighter a line you'll travel to get there. I've see this in little areas of my life. Maybe this is a helpful way to think about it, but I'm kind of obsessed with mowing straight lines in my front yard. Okay, when Erica does it, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I want the lines like straight in the yard. But here's what I've realized: the lines are the straightest. Because I gotta admit, I've had moments where I'm like, okay, not my finest work. Here's what I've realized: okay, the lines are the straightest when my eyes are set. When my sights are set somewhere further down the line, when I pick like, when I'm at the, when I pick a mailbox, or when I'm going this direction, when I pick like a fence post, or when I pick like the edge of the house, or when I pick the edge of the swing set, right? When I set my sights on something far down the line and just make sure that I'm mowing toward it, the line is always the straightest. The flip side is when my eyes are down on the mower, making sure that the inside wheel is overlapping perfectly with the edge of the last line that I mowed. What do? I'm always kind of correcting and overcorrecting and trying to make sure that I get it just right. And I get to the end of a pass and I look back and I go, ha, it's swerving all the way down the front lawn. And I was so concerned. I wanted to, despite the fact that I wanted a really straight line and I was, you know, correcting and overcorrecting, right? When I don't, when my eyes are down, right? Not paying attention to anything around me or where I am in the, it's always a disaster. And I look back and I go, yikes, that's the most not straight line I've ever seen in my entire life. Okay? I think the same is true with the lives that God has called us to live, gang. Unless we have our sights set on something bigger, something greater, unless we have our sights set on some kind of goal, some kind of vision for our life, some kind of vision for our faith, that then we'll just be swerving, you know, our way aimlessly through life, and we'll get to a certain point, and we'll look back, and we'll go, "Yikes! What am I doing? Like, how did this happen?" What the Bible is teaching here is that the wise person. This is all about developing a wise life and a wise way of living. What this is teaching us is that the wise person will have an unwavering directness in the pursuit of the goals that they have for themselves and for their life and for their family and for their kids and their marriage and for their hearts and their everything. We'll have our sights set on something that pulls us toward the goal. Without a goal and without a real clear destination, the reality is there's no telling. There's no telling where it is that you will find ourselves. I once heard a pastor say that everyone ends up somewhere. Few people end up somewhere on purpose. Everyone ends up somewhere. Few people end up somewhere on purpose. Gang, I want us and our lives and our kids and our families, I want them to all end up somewhere that we chose, that God wanted for us. I want them to end up there on purpose. And so it requires having our sights set on some kind of destination down the line, right? No one goes on a vacation without a destination in mind. If you don't have one, you have no idea whether you'll end up in Key West or in Calgary, right? And where you are going and when you'd like to get there, it determines the way that you travel. I told you about driving to Michigan. My family drives there every summer. It's like a 10-plus hour drive, and depending on how we drive, we go south. It's like a 10-plus hour drive through four different states if we drive through Chicago. And let me tell you, there are some like fun-looking things to do along the way. Every time we make the drive, we see somewhere new that we think, well, that looks cool. There's beautiful state parks and there's like amazing looking, you know, restaurants and amazing like little beach towns along Lake Michigan. We see a new sign, we see a new advertisement, a new thing. We go, well, that looks pretty cool. If we stopped at every place that we have noticed over the last number of years that we've been making this drive, if we stopped at every place that we noticed that caught our attention, that we thought, well, that looks cool, we'd never make it. We'd never make it to our destination, and there's no telling where it is that we end up. In fact, if Erica and I stop even for a cup of coffee, I mean, if we see like a Starbucks on the side of the road and we stop for a cup of coffee, our kids freak out. Why? Because their sights are firmly set on our destination. Okay? And if the GPS is on, they're keenly aware of when it is that we are supposed to be arriving, and they do not want anything to get in the way. And so what do? We travel accordingly. We have our sights set on something greater. It's not to say that this stuff is all inherently bad, but we have our sights set on something greater, and it determines the way that we travel. Proverbs 17:24 says, "A discerning person keeps wisdom in view, but a fool's eyes wander to the ends of the earth." where we are looking, where our sights are set or not set for that matter, has a massive impact on the lives that we are living. Unless we have our sights set somewhere on something bigger, greater, grander, something of God for the lives that we are living, unless we have our gaze fixed on something greater, our eyes will wander. And the things of this world and the ways of this world will distract us. And one day we'll stop and we'll look back and we'll realize that the road behind us has been an unnecessarily winding one. And I want to be clear, some of the distractions in our life or when our eyes wander, some of the distractions in life, I'm not saying that they're all inherently like bad or evil or sinful, but sometimes they're not leading us to the places that we ultimately want to be. And if they're not leading us to where we want to be, we've got to learn the art of saying, no, I'm heading somewhere different. I'm heading somewhere greater. I'm pursuing something more. I care more about that in the long run than I do about this right here, right now. So we got to ask ourselves, like, what are we looking at? Where are our sights set? What vision have we cast for ourselves and for our lives and for our marriages and for our families? Where have we set our sights, and is it leading us to where it is that we want to be? If the answer is no, then I'd say, man, let's pick something. Okay? Let's learn to set our sights somewhere further down the line. Better yet, here's what I'd say. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 12 says, it encourages us, reminds us to fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author, the perfecter, so the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Right? His eyes were set, were fixed on doing the will of his Father. His eyes were fixed on the greater joy that was set before him, and so he traveled accordingly, no matter what came his way. We got to do the same. Here's the final thing that I would say to you today, coming from the book of Proverbs. Here's what I would say: watch your step, okay? Guard your heart, govern your mouth, set your sights, and watch your step. Watch where it is that your feet take you. Proverbs 4, it says, give careful thought to the paths of your feet. Notice if we go back to where I started and where we're finishing here, notice the section starts with making mention of the heart and ends by mentioning the feet. I think it's alerting us to the fact that the heart cannot believe one thing while the feet does the other, right? The heart cannot be convinced of one particular direction if our feet repeatedly take us in another direction. So we got to give careful thought to where it is that our feet take us, into the paths that we travel. The word path here in the original Hebrew, it's interesting. It isn't just referring to the general idea like of a road or a route that we travel. It's actually creating the imagery of some kind of a more like a circular track that's established by repeated movement. As some translations of this last verse will even say, make straight the paths, right? It said, give careful attention or thought to the paths. Some translations say, make straight the paths in front of you. The point being, like, don't get caught in the loop, in you know, just going in circles. And when I thought about it, I'm going, man, in so many ways, this is kind of a warning to us. I think about one of the excuses that so many of us, myself included, right? It's a warning about, you know, one of the excuses that we often make in response to some of the questionable choices that we make. Oftentimes, we justify bad decisions. We justify poor decisions by saying, it was just this once, right? It was just It was just one swipe. It was just one click. I mean, it was just one fill in the blank, right? It was just one time. It's no big deal. It's just one time. I think here's the danger that this wisdom is alerting us to. Every step that we take may be temporary, yes, but every step will contribute to the pattern or to the path that is starting to shape the direction of our lives. Okay? I'm not saying one misstep and you're done for. That's not what I'm trying to say. What I do want us to understand is that every step, as small as it might be, it does create a pattern. It does start to form some bit of a rut or of a groove in the path that will soon become far easier to fall into. So we pay very close attention to where it is our feet take us, because each step is making it easier to travel that same path once again. Gang, our whole self, right? The whole of our spiritual life and the consistency of our walk with Jesus, I think it is determined in large part by how these individual parts of us function and operate in our everyday life, right? The consistency that I think we ultimately want, I don't know if it's always a result of the activities, the good activities that we complete. Like go to church and read the Bible and pray more. Those are all good things, great things, the best things that I would encourage us to do more of. But the reality is you can do those things and still not have like and still not, you know, guard the heart or be, you can check the boxes while still missing what the wisdom is encouraging, right? So I would say the most effective way to develop a more consistent spiritual life, it's not like a behavior modification, just start to do these activities more. It's the transformation of the parts of us that lead us every day. It's the alignment of the heart, the mouth, the eyes, and the feet. Because when you guard your heart, when you govern your mouth, when you set your sights, and when you watch your step, here's what I would say. It will then naturally lead you to the places and to the things and to the activities and to the habits that will produce God's best in you. And so here's what I would say. This fall, here's a question I would ask you. This fall, as we all set our sights on the structure and the routine and the rhythm that we may want for our lives and especially our spiritual lives, I wonder which of these four, heart, mouth, eyes, feet, I wonder which one you might need to pay more attention to. A greater attention to one of these parts of you that has a way of influencing the whole of you. It could be the difference this year in the life of faith and in your walk with Jesus and the consistency of your spiritual life. It could be the difference in terms of you actually living and pursuing and experiencing God's best for you in a whole new way. And so I'm praying that each of us would commit ourselves in a greater way, commit greater care and attention to some parts of us that could matter most. Heart, mouth, eyes, feet. Let me close in prayer for all of us that we might experience more of what God has in store. God, routine and rhythm can be a great thing, and we're at that point in the calendar or in the seasons where just naturally God, some bit of, you know, rhythm and routine is kind of at the forefront of our mind. And so yes, God, we're doing work schedules and school schedules and homework schedules and practice schedules and all that. But I pray too, God, that we would be attuned in greater ways to some of the opportunity we have to build a consistency, not just into the everyday activities of life, God, but to build some consistency into our spiritual life and into our daily walk with you. And God, as we set our sights on this level of consistency, a whole life of faithfulness and righteousness, God, help us to see in our own lives which part of us we might pay attention to more in a way that could contribute to the whole of us in a way that changes everything, God. So help us to be people that guard what comes in, God, to be very careful about what comes out. God, help us to be people who set our sights on something greater of you, God, that will pull us toward what's best. God, help us to have our sights set on the best of what you've called us to so that we would travel accordingly, God, and help us to be people who watch our step so that our feet ultimately lead us to the places that we want to be, God, and that you have called us to in this world. Help us to pay attention to the one that may matter the most. And God, I'm praying that we as individuals and as a church would really experience the best of what it is that you have in store for us. And we pray this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Be sure to join us on Sunday mornings, both online and in person at 9 and 10:30 a.m. Midcurrent is located at 200 First Street in downtown Hudson, Wisconsin.